Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Jeanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel, and we're going to continue our discussion of the Word of God. We were looking at last week the importance of growth, because we said that allowing the Word of God to penetrate the heart will determine the growth that we see in our life here on a daily basis. So what the believer has to understand is, after coming to Christ and being a Christian, is that the Holy Spirit does not automatically just work because I ask him or I pray to God. We have a part, and our part is to continue to look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. If he began the good work, he's going to finish it, but it's based upon where you place your faith, your trust, your confidence, and your belief, where you place it, because that will determine how much the Word of God is allowed to penetrate the heart. So it is important, even as Christians, because we began right, but we often find out that not too many continue in the things of God. Why? Because we don't want to die to self. Our desires, our way of looking at things, our views, our opinions, our biases. We want to continue to do things. We want to serve God, but just like King Saul, we want to serve him in the energy and the power of our own strength and ability. Amen. And so, God, this is why Christ said, "Not my will, thy will be done." Yeah. In order to live an effective Christian life, we have to remember why we were saved. And this is the part I think that we oftentimes forget. We weren't saved just because, you know, now I'm saved, I can ask God to just fix my problems. It's not about us dictating to God on what to do, but it's about us allowing God to dictate to us and reveal his desires and his will in us so that we can accomplish God's will here on earth. That makes sense?
Amen.
Because we're facing a evil foe. We're facing a deceptive foe that's here to deceive. He works through deception. And in this body of flesh, we are frail, and we tend to walk by what we see and how we feel. And so being in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation, and old things have to pass away. And so we were talking about what the Spirit of God produces in us, the fruit of the Spirit. And God has to see evidence of a change. He doesn't want to hear me say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I believe you. He doesn't just hear the words. He has to look at the heart.
Yes.
And he looks at the response, the fruit. The fruit is just simply what the Spirit of God produces. You can have the fruit of the flesh, what the flesh produces, or you can have the fruit of the Spirit. And oftentimes we are more lenient towards what the Spirit produces, what we're used to. And the Spirit of God, in Galatians 5, you can see the works of the flesh, and we'll get there later on. But the works of the flesh are simply that those things that are contrary to what the Spirit produces. They're unrighteous acts, anger, malice, strife, you know. And oftentimes God would allow people and situations to happen to prick what's in our heart, to reveal what's in the heart. And we can deny it. And we can say, it's not this or not that, but God knows. And oftentimes others know because of the way of our response, how we respond. So those things are not just there when they happen. We have to admit what we are. And just like Jacob, if I don't admit it, I want God to bless me despite me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We want God to bless me as I am, because we don't want to change.
Right.
And so God's saying, I have to reveal, I need to know your name. Who are you? What are you? Because oftentimes in the Bible, when they were named children, it was based upon characteristics or what was happening during the time. So Jacob was named schemer. He was a trickster or schemer, a heel planner, a heel catcher. And when he was born, he and Esau, he grabbed the heel of Esau and came out first. So he was a schemer, a trickster, and a supplanter. They named him Jacob because of his characteristic, who he was. And so this is what God wanted to know. All of us have a characteristic and a nature contrary to him unless we are growing in the message of the cross, growing in grace and knowledge. And we're going to go to back to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we want to see how it is the only way to grow is by having faith in the right object. And it is important that we allow God's process to take place in our life. Otherwise, we will live a defeated Christian life and never able to go beyond certain situations, certain people, certain environments, and certain circumstances. God called us to be overcomers.
Amen.
And if we're overcomers, there's nothing in life that I should not be able to overcome.
Amen.
Nothing. And this is why we often say Satan, he tries to lure us and pull us off, pull our minds away from Christ, which keeps us in the flesh. And if I'm in the flesh, it gives him opportunity. It's a playground. It's a battlefield. It gives him access and an avenue to do as he pleased, to come as he pleased. And that's why Peter was able at one minute say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then in the next breath, when Christ mentions the cross, he starts rebuking it, rebuking the cross, saying no, because he was basing it upon what it looked like, what he desired for Christ to be instead of him becoming what God wanted him to be, and that was Christ-like. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 16.
As also in all his epistle, speaking in them of these things, in which are some understood, which they that are unlearned, unstable, rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness.
Okay. Now let's stop right there for a second. Let me try to pull this up. It's taking a minute, but I will get it up. Now notice here in give me a second here. Okay. In verse 16, where he goes down and he says that he says, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, they were hard to be understood because they were either prophecy or it was the teaching of the cross. So if you're not developing and you're not maturing in Christ and him crucified, what do we mean when we say in Christ and him crucified? The doctrine of the cross, we have to understand what it is. Paul will always say, knowing this, if you don't know why you're saved, if you don't know what took place when you exhibited faith in Calvary and you asked Christ into your life, you don't realize that you were justified by evidence and faith, meaning that there was a wrath against you. Every man that was born of woman was born into sin. So we're not sinners based upon what we do. We're sinners based upon the position of having a sin nature, being born in sin. So everybody was born with a sinful nature. You and I have to understand that. If you don't, you would just end up saying, I give my life to Christ, but never count the cost, never understand what you're surrendering to, and so most people enter into salvation thinking that they can live like they continue to live, do what they used to do, and just ask God, you know, call on his name and do the Hail Mary prayer cross thing, you know how the Catholics do, and think that you can do some works, go to church and pay some money, and you think that you are right with God because you gave or did something from your own strength and ability.
Right.
And not understanding that, not understanding the cross, Paul was trying to teach to them some things, but it was hard to be understood. Why? Because their focus and foundation was built on a lie. Their faith was not in Christ and Him crucified. It was in their church, their titles, their positions, who they were, their status, their family. Y'all understand? So we have to understand they were unlearned. Now, notice in the second half of verse 16, he says, these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Because they did not understand the scriptures, they didn't understand prophecy, they didn't understand the teaching of the cross and whatever. So those things were hard to comprehend with the natural mind, with the the mind that was unconverted. See? So we read last week that Peter had an unconverted mind. Peter was saved, but Peter was not allowing or did not allow, and he had a reason, a good excuse, because the Holy Spirit had not come down yet and to dwell into them due to the cross not being accomplished. We are without excuse.
Amen.
When we get saved, we get the whole package. We get the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we are without excuse. It's just us and our yieldedness and our hunger and thirst for righteousness. So here these it says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They were resting or twisting the scriptures. And what they were doing were twisting it to their own destruction. Why? Because they left out Christ and the cross. They made it about their church doctrines. They twisted the scriptures to say that it meant this, it meant that. But they leaving Christ and the cross off means that there is no life. There is no overcoming life. There is no power of the Spirit to transform the heart, to transform the mind and the thinking.
Amen.
See that? So this is why Christ will warn, be careful what you hear and how you hear. Take heed. That's what he tells them. He says, you had to be careful how you heard. So the Bible says faith comes how? By hearing.
Hearing. Amen.
And hearing what?
The word.
So hearing has to be the gospel or the report or the rumor of the good news. What was the good news? God was not going to punish us for our sin if we embrace his son who would take away the sin of the world.
Amen.
See that? That was the good news, and it was for all men. So Christ couldn't walk around with a grudge against certain
Amen.
People.
Mm-hmm.
Christ couldn't come down to earth and say, well, I like this group, but I don't like that group.
Mm-hmm.
Christ couldn't come down to the earth and have respect of persons. He couldn't have a respect of race. He couldn't have a respect of, you see, it wasn't about the things that we get divided amongst ourselves. It was about the need of a world that was
yes.
dying, that was held in bondage to Satan.
Amen.
And they were held in bondage. We were held in bondage to sin, self, and the world system. If you and I were to know and to see what the enemy has planned, we think what we see in this nation and in this world and across the world is the norm or is right. And just if we saw behind the scenes the evil that has been plotted and planned to destroy people, there's an effort by the enemy that wants population control. They have allowed the wars that we've seen in the past were all orchestrated and manipulated. Why? For a group of Luciferian or Satan-worshipping people. But God, Christ said, in this life, you're going to have all kind of things. Satan is the author of confusion. Satan is behind the scenes. The Bible tells us that he is behind the scenes working things through evil men and women, and that's why our fight has to be spiritual, not fleshly.
Yes.
It's not against flesh and blood. So while we're here divided and we got one race against another, see, that's the goal of Satan. You and I have to come off that level. Then they plot to now get us against police and against this and against that. Y'all see, it's a class warfare, and then they divide us by gender. They purposely do these things. Why? Because chaos brings them money, and finances, they control this world system. What am I saying? Christ came to give us life to overcome.
Amen.
So he has to teach us, and the only way he can teach us if we're yielded, and the only way, and if we're yielded, then we will submit to God's way, and then God can change our character. He can change our heart. He can impart to us the mind of God, the will of God, the way of God. He will give you insight as to what the enemy is doing in the world system so that you and I won't fall for what they report on TV. The chaos, the madness to get us all divided against one another, to fight one another, when the real enemy is behind the scenes pulling the strings. See that?
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been going on from the beginning of time. They used the same enemy was behind the scenes with the Jews in the synagogue who said they were Jews but really weren't. But what did they do? They came against Christ.
Yes.
And Christ had to have the mind of God. He had to put away what his desire was and realize that what he was facing in the natural and in the now and in his present was not greater than what God was going to do for a world. We get so stuck at what's right before us, what's in front of us, what we dealing with right now, that we can't see that God has already, Satan is already defeated.
Yes.
But because Satan knows I can, if they're not growing, if they're unlearned, I can have my way. And this is why he tells us to grow. And we're going to get to that verse. Sister, where'd you stop?
18, but I'll read it again.
Okay, let me comment on 17. So he says, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know. See, we got to know something. The days of just going through the motions of religious activities in church and having a good time and being entertained are over.
Mm-hmm.
God is saying, I need some people. He's looking to and fro because there's wickedness that's going on today, and it's taking out a lot of people. Innocent people or people that's been affected and have nothing to do with this evil plot. And so he says, seeing you know these things before, and we said this one time before, when Christ came and they were all beholden to the temple and they were all elated about how great the temple looked and how it was, and Christ turned around and he wept. Why did he weep? He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish I could gather you as a chick would gather her hens, but you would not. You wouldn't let me. So because you wouldn't let me, you wouldn't let me grow you up. You wouldn't come to know who I am and know what's in the world and know what's coming at you. Now you're going to be destroyed. Rome's coming in. He told them, and we'll destroy this place and lay it to waste.
Yes.
He's doing the same thing today. He's revealing to us what is happening. We think coronavirus or something. There's evil behind the scenes that has plotted and planned these things. They have stuff set up, agendas, and it moves nations. And how do we know? Daniel dealt with it. Daniel showed how the prince of Babylon and Grecia and Persia did not want to move out of the way. These were fallen angels or evil spirits that controlled those nations. And what was happening? God had to reveal to Daniel that his will was going to be accomplished, but the enemy was resisting. What am I saying? Everything that we see in the natural started in the spirit realm.
Amen.
By something evil. But God can take the evil and work it what? For the good.
That's right. Amen.
That's why we can't be shaken. What happened with the death angel? The death angel was not a good thing, right? Nobody wanted to die. But God, it was under God's control and command. But what did the people do? They had to do things according to God's standard. If they did not, they would die out there in if they weren't in the house with the blood and covered over the doorpost. The death angel would have killed them as well.
Amen.
But get this. This is what's so interesting. God warned them, all of Egypt, and told them, if you don't take your animals and put them up and covering them and do this and do it when the hail was coming or whatever. He gave a warning. This is still the goodness of God. See, even back then.
Yeah, amen.
The grace of God. He made a way, but all they had to do was obey. They would not. So I say this because if you and I don't know these things before, what are we supposed to know? He says, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked. What is the error of the wicked? Now, remember, this world system is wicked. Everything about it is wicked. Everything is controlled. The platforms, everything we see and hear is wicked. Why? It's wicked because it is controlled by Satan, who is the little g god or ruler of the world system. So everything mainstream, whether it's the health, whether it's the TV, the entertainment, whatever it is controlled. Look at the powers that control it. That's what we look at.
Yeah.
And so you have some good people within, but the wickedness of the system that controls it, this is what I'm saying, it leaves people into error. If we don't understand the mind of Christ, the way of Christ, the word of God, it will lead people into error and they will fall from their own steadfastness. He said the way is narrow. So what we see being promoted today on TV or whatever is homosexuality, sex outside of marriage.
Yep.
All these TV series, I was watching something, and one of them series, I can't remember what it was, but it was just, they promoted the worship of their gods. They had these little idols in their hands, and they go pray, and it was these little gods that they had, they were praying to. Then you had a guy that was in the midst of it. He was a priest or a monk, but he had the Catholic God, but he called it Christianity, but they overtook him. He had no other choice but to conform to what the surrounding he was in. What am I saying? That everything, it promoted sex. It promoted that they could have, they had laws in place where they could have sex with slaves, but if the women were married, the men couldn't. So they would go around, and if they felt like and had an urge, they'd take the woman and do whatever they wanted to do, and this was promoted like it was okay because it was a slave. See, my point is they have subliminal messages, these little behind-the-scenes messages and unconscious things that's put in the mind, and then you and I think that, oh, it's okay. It desensitizes us. And so when we become desensitized, we just think, oh yeah, they always do that. Yeah, they've been doing that. That's no big deal. And so what he says, a lot of times people get carried away with the error of the wicked, and they fall from their own steadfastness. We have to be steadfast in the things of God, meaning that I have to consecrate myself by turning away from the things that may keep my mind stuck here in one place when God wants me to progress and to know and to grow. And let's go to verse 18.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
All right. So the solution to not being carried away with the error of the wicked and not falling from our own steadfastness is to what?
Grow.
To augment, to increase. In what now?
In grace.
How do we grow in grace? Oh, boy. How do we grow in grace? Now, earlier Sister Cherry made a comment about, we talked about last week, that the fruit of the Spirit, they all grow at the same time as we yield. So if there's a circumstance in your life and God is trying to produce fruit, remember, he's always trying to produce fruit, because what? John 15 tells us that fruit glorifies him.
Mm-hmm.
So God didn't save us for us to just go to church, check a box, and be carried led away with the error of the wicked. See, the wicked means anything that's been promoted other than Christ and him crucified. It can be your church organization. It can be the furtherance of the organization. It can be the programs, the religious activities, if you're not teaching the believer, if you're teaching them to depend upon the pastor, to look to the pastor, to whatever it is, to seek titles and positions, to seek money or whatever, money cometh to me, anything, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's not dependence upon God's way, which is the cross, dependence meaning that I must, the cross simply means I must decrease. That's all the cross is. It means there's a decreasing, a denial of self. I'm dying to self. I'm dying to sin, or I've died to sin, died to the world system, and I'm dead to Satan. I no longer have a relationship with it. That's all it means. It's a death to self, sin, the world, and Satan. It means that your relationship with sin, the way you had it before salvation, you're dead to that now. And he uses the analogy in Romans chapter 7 of a woman that was married and then her husband dies. She was married to law. When that husband dies, the law says she's no longer in relationship. So when he died, she doesn't go out there to the grave and continue to have a relationship, or no longer is she bound by marriage to that man or that woman, he or she, right? So her relationship or his relationship with that spouse, once they die, it's done. It's over, and she's free to marry another. See this? That was an analogy to show us what happened in our relationship to Jesus when we came to Christ. So we're not in relationship with Satan. I don't live for Satan. I don't allow him access to me. I'm supposed to say yes to Christ and no to sin. And how do I do that? There's only one way to do it. I can't say yes and no in my own strength, in my own power. When I say yes to Christ, there's an automatic no. So when I say yes to Christ, and I was reading in the commentary the other day, and it was talking about Abraham, when God told Abraham to leave Ur, to leave his family, his father's house, or what have you. Now, we don't see it in the scriptures. Remember, the scriptures doesn't break down everything, but you come to know through the meaning of some of the Hebrew and the Greek words what was happening in the commentary. They can take us a little deeper and give us insight. So when you look at it, it says that Abraham didn't immediately go. See, God didn't focus on, he didn't focus on him not just immediately, him saying, okay, well, I don't know. He revealed that Abraham's faith, see, God looks at faith and he looks at the response. So when he sees faith, he's not worried about your idiosyncrasies and all these things that I don't know. He's not going to show all those details. Mm-hmm. He just shows us what faith will do, okay? So, but the commentary was showing how Abraham, the flesh don't easily just move. Y'all know how we are.
Amen.
Abraham was no different than us. Abraham was just like us. And so the flesh will either fight or it will flee, but it will not trust. So our trials, our testing is to move us more and more into the will and into the way of God. So we start walking by grace.
Yes.
So as Abraham walked in obedience, and God takes into account the frailty of our flesh, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See that? So, but Abraham's blessings become held up the longer that he stays out of faith. See what I'm saying? They could have had the promised child sooner. But all hopes of the flesh had to die, and God had to wait until they stopped depending on themselves to produce a child and relied upon him. See this? Faith simply means, in the cross, simply means dependence. You and I have to learn. See, when we were in the world, we thought we were independent, or we thought we were, we thought we were independent, but we were really dependent upon our own desires, our own will, whatever, our own efforts. But we have to learn how to become dependent.
Yes.
We trusted in our own flesh, our own efforts, all our lives. And when coming to Christ, God has to teach us how to depend on his power, his strength,
Amen.
His wisdom,
yes.
his way. And that's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy initially. So this is what growth does. As you and I encounter a problem or a situation, it is an opportunity to grow in grace. Growing in grace means that all of the fruit of the Spirit, everything the Spirit produces, will be developed. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Everything a little at a time. But it's based upon my yieldingness and my obedience. So when Abraham... he didn't immediately go, but when his father died, that was gave him opportunity to leave. You see that? The flesh said, okay, let me get up out of here. We see instances of that all throughout the Bible. So God waits for all hope of the flesh to die, and oftentimes he allowed the circumstances in life to get us to move. When they were at the Red Sea and Pharaoh was behind them, the Hebrew explains and shows that when they went to Moses, they were scared and nervous, and what did they do? Moses, Pharaoh's behind us, the Red Sea before us, right? Mm-hmm. And so Moses goes to God and pray, and God says, don't pray, go forward. See, God is waiting for some of us to go forward. We sitting back praying.
Amen.
We sitting back, Lord, and we praying. I mean, we praying hard. We praying so hard we got a little song to it. Y'all know how we do. And God like, I done told him what to do.
Amen.
Go forward. See? Growing in grace means you got to go forward. Standing still means that you're not progressing, so you're going backwards. See that?
Mm-hmm.
You're being stubborn and you refuse to go forward. So it's not growth. Standing still is not growth. You're not changing. And you have the potential of falling with the error of the wicked and falling from your own steadfastness. So what does he tell? He says, grow. He tells him, go forward. So he's saying, grow. Grow up. Stop saying you believe me. Stop saying you trust me. Stop saying, oh, Father God. Stop calling and saying, oh, hallelujah. I want to see action. This is what God wants. He wants act. He has to see growth. Growth glorifies him.
Yeah,
fruit
yeah.
glorifies him. So what does he do? He says, go forward. So if the Bible says in the original, when they step, as soon as they start walking, the waters parted as they walked. See, waters won't part. When Peter said, bid me come, he didn't walk on God's word till he stepped out of the boat. You see, y'all see what I'm saying? Faith will cause you to move. Faith in the right object. If it's not in the right object, you're going to be the same 20, 30 years and same problem, same situation, same song you singing about my problem, same whatever. Get mad over the same stuff, same response. And God says, but grow.
Mm-hmm.
See this? Grow in what? It has to be grace. Grace is simply said, it says the saint, the only way the saint can grow is in grace. What is grace? It's God's unmerited, unearned, divine favor. It means it's the Holy Spirit giving you the divine enablement.
Amen.
To get through life's problems. See? When the enemy comes in, like a flood, God will lift up a standard against him. See that? When you and I exhibit faith in the cross, that standard is lifted up, and the enemy has to, oh, ho, ho, son of man, what have we to do with you? Our time is not yet. So when he sees you and I, and we read in the scriptures, you see David had 30 mighty men. I think it was 30. And these men in the spirit realm had face of a lion and feet like hind's feet, deer's feet. See, this is what the spirit realm, the spirit world saw them as. What am I saying? God, when you and I grow in grace, this is what the spirit, Satan recognizes. He recognizes who you are. What did he tell those sons of Sceva when they went to try to cast out demons in the name of the God that Paul served? Not knowing Christ, not growing in grace, the devils looked at them and said, Paul, we know. See that?
Mm-hmm.
They know you based upon your growth in grace. See?
Mm-hmm.
When you and I grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can't be carried away with the wicked, the error of the wicked. See, this world system, what they present to us on TV, see, oftentimes don't pay attention to what they say. Pay attention to what they don't say.
Mm-hmm.
They're hiding. They don't want you to know the truth about what, how things are ran and what's really happening behind the scenes. So what they say on TV, even with politics and all that, pay attention to what they don't say.
Yeah.
Because what they're not saying is really, you look and you see what they, oh, okay, what are they not saying? And when you, the Lord directs you and show you what it, who it is and what they're doing, and what you be like, oh. So when they're doing all this saying, you pay attention to what they're not saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Growth will bring you face to face with what the enemy is trying to do, and you won't fall from your own steadfastness. Why? Because you're planted by the rivers of water. And what happens when a seed is planted is that the roots first go down deep, trying to find water, the water, the tap root, trying to get down and to become planted, rooted. Strengthen, he told Peter, when you are converted, not when you get that, that's not when he was already saved, but when you are converted in your thinking and you have a change of mind and come back to the true and living God, the way of true worship, strengthen the brethren.
Yes.
And this is an inward strengthening. This is what we were talking about last week. Strengthen the brethren. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I know we said Joshua 6. We'll get back there. Any questions or comments as we turn to Ephesians 3?
It's just so amazing that, you know, when we sit in church and the preaching is not about how to get be more spiritual. You know how you explain it to now, how we're supposed to be spiritual and everything we're supposed to do is spiritual.
Right.
It don't teach you that, and that's I think that's what's going wrong with the church, because they're not teaching the young people. This is so important to learn about how you see, you know, how we're supposed to be able to see things, what's going on, and
right,
listening
right.
To hear. And they're not teaching it to the young people, and the young people don't know this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They don't
Amen.
Know this.
Right.
You know, our young people is just going, and the old people too, but I'm just thinking about
right.
The young people coming up. They're not learning about Christ. Like you said, he told them they won't pray, but he told them to go.
Right.
He said go, but they don't know that seed opened up because they had faith in what God had told them to do.
Right, right, right. And you're right, and it's not taught, and it's not, and some people are teaching it, but for the
mm-hmm.
most part, it's not being taught and being broken down. Why?
Right.
Because a lot
right.
of preachers, a lot of people I'm finding, they want people to, they want followers. They want
right.
to build their ministries. They want it to be about, because, you know, if people start growing up and not dependent upon you,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have, they start, see, they put their faith in the numbers, just like David counted the army, you know, instead
mm-hmm.
of trusting and depending on God for the resources, and we'll get to Joshua 6 in a minute, we start trusting and depending on our way of doing it, what we want, what we desire.
Right.
So
yes.
we do the same thing as David. We start counting.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure we got enough to make it to the, you know, we have to depend. Instead of counting, depend.
Amen.
Seek.
Yeah.
Trust him. And this is where, because this is where the strengthening comes. This is where,
yeah.
when Abraham left Ur, he had the power and the strength to believe God, and trust God, not knowing where he was going. And so now when he left, that produced in him peace, faith, hope,
yes.
trust. See, all those, the fruit, that which it developed him to the point where, oh, wow, I see him move.
Yes, yes, yes.
I believe there is a God. So as then the next trial came, see what I'm saying? And whatever
yes.
that next trial was, it strengthened him all the more to trust in God, because I saw, see, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our what? Testimony.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And faith, tribulation, works patience. Patience gives us experience. Experience gives us hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. This is what was happening and operating in the life of Abraham. We don't see all the details, but because of faith and trust in God and his way, this is what was produced. It gave him the ability. Yeah, did Abraham lie? Yeah, he lied. Did he do certain things? But guess what? God was with him, and he was a work in progress.
Yeah,
same thing with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God is with us. We're a work in progress. We're going to fail, God. But failure can be a good thing when we learn from it.
Amen.
We have to fail because the failure shows us that what I was dependent upon isn't enough. I need a power source much greater than myself.
Yes, amen.
So we're not looking at the lives of these men and pointing out the wrong that they've done. That's why we can't do other people the same way today. You can't look at people going their past and say, oh, they this and they did. No, because guess what? Same way you judge, same way the Bible says, if you didn't show mercy, you get no mercy. We have to be careful.
Amen.
So we can't be going with the world mouthing off about people and their character and not know them and not know that how God is dealing. We have to look at the fruit of what they've done. The evidence of a change. See, remember, John the Baptist said, "Bring forth fruit."
Mm-hmm.
Evidence of repentance. They had a position and a title, but the evidence.
Amen.
So here, let's start at Ephesians 3, and I think we'll start at verse 16.
That he would grant you, according to riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love.
Okay. Now notice here that
that he says here that,
let me get it right quick. In verse 16, that he, talking about Christ, this is still some of the knowledge that he imparts. These are things that we should know, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And this reveals, pertains to all the revealed perfections of God, not merely his grace and power, to be strengthened with might by his spirit. Now notice, it's his glory by his spirit, of his glory, let's put it that way, riches of his glory by his spirit in the inner man. Where do we come in? Did it say of our glory?
Nope.
Did it say by our spirit?
Nope.
See what I'm saying? So this strengthening, we think is us that makes us grow.
Mm-hmm.
And to become greater and increase with might by our spirit, our power, our spirit. No, it's his, of his glory, by his spirit.
Amen.
To be strengthened with might. Let's see what that word might is, because I got a feeling it's something mighty good.
Amen. So he wants us to be strengthened
with might. Now, notice it says here, let me get it here, the word might. Strengthened, first of all, is in the Greek, it means to strengthen or make strong, to be made strong, to increase in strength, to grow strong. See, remember, a baby has to start out first on milk, and then he is strengthened. His system, his digestive system, can't handle meat as an infant.
Right.
We cannot handle meat when we first come to Christ, but we are made to grow, to be able to embrace the meat, the strong. Remember the word, the things that couldn't understand prophecy, the message of the cross. So a lot of people can't understand the message of the cross because they have not embraced the sincere milk of God's word. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Whereby they can grow.
Right.
So this word strengthening, we'll probably have to go to that scripture in a minute. I think it's in Peter. The word strengthen means to make strong or to increase in strength. We in our own selves, we don't have the strength to stand against the wiles of Satan. So he tells us in Ephesians 6 that we are the devil who walks around as a roaring lion, whom we are to resist by what? Being steadfast. See, this is why you can't fall from your steadfastness.
Mm-hmm.
You and I got to make sure we're growing in grace and knowledge. So he says we are to resist Satan by what? Being steadfast in the faith. Why in the faith? Faith in the cross, where your faith is. It doesn't mean, because everybody got faith in something, but your object of faith has to be in what Jesus did, because that's where the strengthening takes place.
Amen.
This is where he increases us day by day to make strong. See, so your walk, your daily walk is where we're made strong inwardly. It has to be an inward change. See, the Pharisees tried to be strong outwardly. They tried to, you ever seen people in position and they try to wield their power and their strength to show and prove that they're strong and but they control the people and they place them in bondage. It's not our strength that God is after. He wants us to be controlled or made strong or to grow strong from the inside out, not from the outside in. We try to be like the world. We try to wield the power that the kings and the presidents and all that stuff have because of their authority. And God said, not so with you. You don't do these servants. You become a servant to all men. See, God's kingdom is totally different. Because we know who we are in Christ, we have no problem with decreasing for his purpose. So he just wants to simply strengthen us or empower us, increase us in vigor. So he wants us to be made strong, strengthened where? With how? With might. Remember how the scripture says, not by power nor by might, but by his spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And that scripture simply means not by our power nor our might. So this word might is dynamis or dunamis. And in the Greek, it means strength, power, and ability, inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. So what nature is in us that wants to exert his virtue, his nature? It's the divine nature. The divine nature is the Holy Spirit. And he's placed in our inward man, and he ignites our human spirit. And this is how we get wisdom. This is how we come to know things. You know how sometimes you're like, I just know. You know, there's some things that if this is the knowing part of us, how we come to know things.
Amen.
That's your human spirit, and the Holy Spirit exerts its inherent power, and it's a power that's residing within a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth his power. The power and influence which belongs to. See, it's the divine nature who exerts his power and his influences. So what is the flesh? The flesh is just simply me knowing things in human strength and ability without divine influence. The world system can't tell you nothing because guess what? They are without divine influence. So how you hear and what you hear, you have to be very careful, because the only perception you're getting is what the world system tells us and how it relays it, but it has no divine influence. You see that?
Man, that's right.
So we as Christians, this is why he tells us, don't go to the court to settle your disputes, because you're going to mere human men without divine influence. He says, go, you know, one another amongst Christians to settle and deal with this thing, because what? We have a power that's greater than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And there we go, going to the world system for advice. Oh, help my marriage. And we get this counselor and these people, psychologists and all this and that, trying to give you advice about your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
As a Christian, and they're giving you ungodly advice, and this is why divorce is high.
Yep.
See that? This is why the divorce rate today is so high, because the church is caught up with the world system, and we're seeking the world's advice. And it's about everything. God, if we go to God and we go according to God's way, his plans, and you look at situations and issues in this life or in the according to God's word, the answer is there. It can be given to you and I through divine revelation. Peter got it.
Amen.
So let's keep going, verse 17.
That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love.
Okay, so this word dwell, this is very important because he says that Christ may dwell. Now notice it's based upon condition of where your faith is.
Mm-hmm.
So if your faith is not in the right place, he may not dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So that word dwell, it means divine powers, influences, etc., are said to dwell in the soul or to pervade, prompt, and govern. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So it is important if we're not growing in grace and knowledge and my faith is not in the right object, then I cannot get his divine influence, his divine powers, which in pervades and prompts my soul.
Amen.
See this? This is what he's trying to make us rooted and grounded and strengthened in. We learn, we now become a new creation. See, it's a process. And this is why learning the doctrine of the cross is important, because this is what people need to understand takes place in their heart and lives as they submit to God's way. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? He can only dwell by faith.
Mm-hmm.
We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When he sees faith, guess what the Holy Spirit does? That you being rooted and grounded in love. His job is to root and ground us, settle us deeply and deeply founded in love.
Amen.
What kind of love? See, the love of Christ is not naturally in the heart of anybody, Christian or sinner. It has to be divinely placed there through this process right here that we're just reading. And if the Christian happens to shift his focus, what happened to Peter when he stopped looking at Christ and looked at what was happening around him? When we stop looking to Christ and looking at what's going on around us, we start sinking in the very thing we put our trust and faith in. And that was the waves and the wind he saw, and he sank in the water. The very thing that he walked upon, he starts sinking in.
Amen.
So whatever, when you and I apply faith, it doesn't matter what storms of life you face, you can walk on it, above it, and overcome it. Y'all see?
Amen, yes.
So we're supposed to mount up on wings of eagles. And when we mount up on wings of eagles, it takes us above our problems. See?
Yeah.
You start running and you're not weary. Walking and you don't faint. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're seated in heavenly places with Christ, and that's where our mind, if we keep our mind stayed on Jesus, what did he say? He'll keep us in perfect peace. So even though we see all the evils, the evil of the world and the things that's happening around
mm-hmm.
us, and God may give you a revelation like he did Daniel of the evil schemes that's happening behind the scenes, you are not shaken by fear, but because you're rooted and grounded in his love,
yes,
the peace of God, which surpasses all of your understanding, because you've
yes.
grown in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See that?
Amen.
It
yes.
keeps us rooted and grounded in his love.
Yes.
And so the natural inclination, the love of God, the agape love of God, is not naturally in our hearts. It has to be placed there by faith.
Amen.
And so the woman that washed Christ's feet with her hair, poured the oil, the costly oil, on his feet and anointed his head, and the disciple said, we could use that money. She stop her. It said that she loved much because she was forgiven much. You see this?
Yes.
Her response to Christ because of being rooted and grounded in his love. This
yes.
is agapeo love, meaning that it's self-sacrificial. She didn't care how much the oil cost because she knew that she knew who he was, and she anointed. See, all them people around him and even the disciples, this woman had enough sense to know to anoint him for his burial. She knew the purpose of his coming. You see that? So she was anointing him with that costly oil for his burial, and that's why she loved much, because she had been forgiven much. And when you and I realize the extent of God's love, how God sent and gave his only begotten son, he looked past all of our faults and our failures, and he saw the greater need. He said, you know what? I could judge you based upon your sin and your iniquities and all the stuff you've done, but I'm looking past that. And even when you hated me, even when you despised me, he died. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. And this woman understood the extent of God's love. See that?
Yes.
When we understand the extent of God's love and we're grounded and rooted in it, look at verse 18, and we're going to have to close.
May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height.
So this says here, it says means not only to understand, may be able to comprehend with all saints, but as well to lay hold of so as to make one's own. What is the breadth, the length, and the depth and the height? See?
Jesus.
God brings us to the point where it says this metaphor is used by Paul to explain the vastness of God's love for the saints. So this is why we can get past one another's faults.
Yeah.
We don't do tit for tat.
Amen.
When people fail us or wrong us, we are able to restore them in love. He that is spiritual, restore. You see that? We don't hold their sins against them, but we help them to see the reason for the failure was the lack of not having faith in the right object.
Yes.
Because the Bible says that if we turn an erring one back to truth, you save a soul and cover a multitude of sin. I don't sit back pointing out their faults, but I embrace them and point them to the right direction, the right object. See that?
Right.
And what does 19 say? Keep going.
And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
It says the believer, and it says speaks of knowledge gained by experience. See, to know. The only way you and I can know the agapeo love of Christ, meaning that he sacrificed himself for us and he wants that same love exhibited back to others and to him.
Amen.
That's why I can love my. He can wrap the commandments up to two: love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because the love of Christ it
Amen.
Goes past. See, it goes past human intellect. It goes past the fact of what I see. Yeah, I may see them, and they may be engaged and caught up in something that ain't right. But guess what? You and I have gained knowledge. Get knowledge that comes through experience with Christ, the love of Christ.
Yes.
It goes past the intellect, the knowledge that I think, you know, I'm all puffed up in. He says the believer can know the love of Christ but cannot exhaust the knowledge of that love.
Amen.
So you start looking at people from the right perspective. I don't care what how the world presents them. You have to look at them from God's perspective. Because God chooses who he wants, how he wants, when he wants. And God will let you see past the knowledge that you see that's before your face. And he gives you the insight and the revelation. See that?
Yes, amen.
He gives you the divine influence, the divine power of the Spirit that pervades and prompts and governs the soul.
Yes.
This is how we live. This is what living by faith means. It's not I'm walking by faith. No, when you walk by faith and your faith is in the right object, the Holy Spirit starts giving you this power to see beyond your natural and your now.
Amen.
and he gives you insight and information and what have you. And like I said, doctors may not have the answers to some problems, but guess what? This virtue that flows from the divine nature that's placed in you and I, it gives you the answer and the insight to things that the world has no clue, no answer about.
Amen.
And then on that note, we're going to close, but they had an example of medical doctors back in the day, way before they had certain technology and all this stuff. And the doctor was doing these surgeries and what have you with people, but they had water in containers, and what they would do was they didn't have running water, but what they were doing was they would take, they do surgery on somebody, and they take and wash their hands in that water in the container, and a lot of people were dying, getting infections and dying. They couldn't figure out why and what. And this one man happened to read the Bible one day, one doctor. And when he read and saw how the priests were to wash their hands with running water, he was like, wait a minute. And went back and applied it. It cut the death rate back down. 80 to 85% of the patients start surviving.
Wow.
The other doctor said, nah, that ain't it. And they continued to do surgeries and do things way back when without running water. See what I'm saying? These were intellectual men. These were men that had knowledge and insight as to how to do surgery and operate and all this stuff. But one man took the Bible, and the Lord gave him a revelation of how to deal and handle, and it cut back the rate of death. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Simply by running water, because when you just take and dip your hand in water, it was, you know, whatever you dealt with before, it was still on your hand, but the running water just washed it away. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
My point is, when we seek God in his way, he gives us the insight that the world, remember, we have the mind of Christ. We are to, and that doesn't come automatic either. All of that comes when you and I walk in obedience and submit to God's way.
Amen.
Because what it does is bring about dependence on God. Remember, you and I are learning how to depend upon God instead of depending on our own efforts and ability. And on that note, we're going to have to close, but we want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and we pray that some things were said that will strengthen you and give you insight as to walking by faith in Calvary and trusting him every step of the way. We come on each Saturday morning on the WMFA radio station, 1400 in the local area, 10 a.m. every Saturday morning. And for those that would like to tune in to our Bible study, we're here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you would like to join in, just simply dial the number 712-432-3900. And for the code, enter 730-746, followed by the pound. I hope I got that right. But until next Tuesday, those on the line, I'm sorry, did I get it right?
Yeah, you get it right.
Okay. Those on the line, y'all hold on. We'll take questions and comments. But until next Tuesday at 7 p.m., we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you.